Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a podcast from the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, MTAM for short. My name is Melissa. Detroit is well known as the Motor City and the heart of the American automotive industry. Today, this industry is experiencing a revolution that will drive the future of mobility in new directions as transportation technologies evolve in ways that would have been hard to imagine just a few years ago. And once again, Michigan, of course, is leading the way. Advances in technology-driven innovation require us to explore the changing landscape of mobility and consider the new and unique challenges of testing connected and autonomous vehicles. The annual CAT conference this year focused on testing tomorrow's autonomous vehicles today. We'll explore how automakers are looking at the future of mobility and testing vehicles for an endless array of possible driving scenarios and how technical training will need to adapt and change. Joining me today is Bob Feldmeier, Director of CAT at Macomb Community College, and we'll discuss the upcoming April 20th CAT conference. Bob, welcome back to the show. We're so glad you could join us again.
Great to be back again.
Thank you. So we're here today to talk about the upcoming CAT Spring Conference called Testing Tomorrow's Automated Vehicles Today. Let's start with having you tell us a bit about the event, the CAT Conference, otherwise known for the Center of Advanced Automotive Technology.
Correct. CAT is with 2A, C-A-A-T, Center for Advanced Automotive Technology. It's funded largely by the National Science Foundation. We're what's known as an ATE, an Advanced Technological Education Center. We're one of 42 of those around the country, and the only one that's focused on automotive technology. There's others that focus on agriculture and cyber and marine biology and all kinds of different things, but we're focused on automotive technology.
This has become an annual event.
This will be the fifth year that it's really been the CAT conference. We had joined for 2 years prior to that with a group called DMA, Design and Manufacturing Alliance. Within our NSF goals, one of the things we had written in was to do an annual conference. And when I took over as a director 5.5 years ago, I thought it was important that we kind of take the lead in this conference, and DMA was fine with that. DMA has continued to be one of our strong supporters and sponsors and actually brings a lot of attendees to the conference.
Who are some of the other sponsors of the event this year?
Well, another one we've had for years is CAR, the Center for Automotive Research in Ann Arbor. We also have MTAM back. This is their second year that they are going to be a sponsor as well. That's Mobile Technology Association in Michigan. We also have WIN, Workforce Intelligence Network. It's another group that we do a lot of work with. They do a lot of data analysis on what's happening in workforce needs and will actually be one of the presenters at the conference. And also DSpace is a new one. They will also be a presenter at the conference.
Who is DSpace?
DSpace is actually a business. They do all kinds of testing, both physical testing as well as computer simulation testing.
Wow, what a great lineup of sponsors and participants. Can you give us an overview of the event and what someone could expect to see and learn if they attend this event?
Absolutely. We're focusing on really autonomous vehicle testing this year because the whole autonomous vehicle space has actually evolved to the point that there are a number of vehicles out there that are now in the test mode. The last 2 years, we've also been discussing autonomous vehicles, kind of more of what's happening with the technology and, you know, how that was impacting future worker needs and training. We decided to focus on testing this year. Our keynote speaker is going to be Carla Bailo, who is the new president and CEO of CAR. She also has an excellent background, having been a vice president of engineering at Nissan and then spent a little bit of time at Ohio State University. But what she's going to do is talk about how things are changing with this technology. The configuration of vehicles is going to change, and how they're used is going to change, which is going to affect how they need to be tested. The automotive industry has had set test protocols for years based upon what they've learned on how their customers use vehicles. Well, these vehicles are going to be changing, and therefore testing is going to be changing. So she's going to kind of, you know, set up the background for that. Then we will have Andrew Smart, who's the chief technical officer at American Center for Mobility, talk about the physical testing aspect. American Center for Mobility is putting in a very large autonomous vehicle test center in Ypsilanti, Michigan, out by Ann Arbor, just west of Detroit. Then we'll have Jace Allen, who's the business development manager at DSpace. DSpace not only does physical testing, but a lot of simulation testing. And when you look at all the different scenarios that an autonomous car could encounter, it's virtually impossible to set up a physical test for all of those. So DSpace is coming up with simulation techniques where you can test all kinds of different scenarios much faster than you can ever do physical testing. So that's going to cover kind of the autonomous testing part. Then there's also a new executive director at WIN, Michelle Uresti, who is going to present some data on what's happening within the workforce, where there's, you know, changing workforce needs, job openings, and so forth. Then we're going to do something we've never done before and have a little focus at the end on STEM activities. My center does a lot of that, as does our college, Macomb Community College. But there's a lot of other organizations in Southeast Michigan also doing STEM activities to try to encourage middle school and high school students to go into STEM-related careers. So we're going to do an overview of what these activities are, and we'll have representatives there from the various organizations that will have tables set up where the conference attendees can go talk to the ones that they have an interest in. So pretty wide range of things that we'll be covering that morning.
Absolutely. And again, I mean, just a fantastic lineup of speakers, presenters, and a lot of really great information. So you mentioned, you know, some of the direction trying to help encourage, you know, middle and high school children to go into STEM. Who's the target for the actual conference then? Is it those parents, those educators? Who else might it be involved?
Yeah, it's really not parents, but it's definitely educators. Well over half of the attendees are from some aspect of academia. We get a number of secondary school teachers and counselors there, other community college, some four-year university academic people, as well as some people from industry and government. I guess you would say the STEM activities are definitely oriented towards the secondary education providers that are there.
That's exciting to hear. You know, I do firmly believe that as things are changing so quickly, helping people understand what opportunities are available is somewhat challenging. And if we can start some of our youth of today, you know, in the middle school or in the high school and start directing them towards opportunities that maybe haven't even been thought of by the time they graduate or they get into a college, something like that, you know, we're just that much further ahead.
Well, that's a very true statement. If you look at the students that are in middle school today, there are careers and opportunities that aren't even known yet that they will have available to them, you know, after they graduate from college. Technology changes, and with that, there's always changes in new career opportunities. And that we actually focus all the way down to middle school with our STEM activities. We found that's really where you need to get their attention to get them interested in STEM, because by eighth grade, they're signing up for their high school classes, and they're either going to get themselves onto a pathway towards STEM or not. So middle school is really where you first have to get their attention.
Very nice. So can you share the event details, such as when the event is taking place, where it's being held, and then where participants can register?
Yes. The event is held at Macomb Community College South Campus, which is at 12 Mile and Hayes in Warren. It's on Friday, April 20th. It starts at 8 o'clock with registration and a continental breakfast. And then at 8:30, we actually start the program. We plan to conclude by noon, and there will also be a lunch offered then at the end. You can go to our website, www.autocat, and that's AUTOCAAT.org, to register for the event. There is no charge, but we do ask that you register in advance so we know how many people to plan for food.
That always makes sense. Are there other ways to participate in the event, such as live streaming or viewing online? Will there be any archives if a person can't attend in person?
Unfortunately, no. We have not gotten into any of those, let's call it, newer types of technology methodologies for broadcasting the conference. It's one you have to be there in person.
Well, that's kind of disappointing, but maybe next year, right?
Yeah, I guess we can think about that, yes.
So we have a lot of conferences in Michigan about connected and autonomous vehicles, especially given that it's been such a popular topic in the last, especially a couple of years. What would you say makes this conference different from other events focused on the topic of autonomous vehicles?
I think probably two things. One is we're really doing this for professional development as well as it has a workforce development component, which is a little different. Most of the other conferences are very much focused just on the technology, and in many cases it's companies actually kind of doing an advertisement for what their company products, services, and capabilities are. This is more of a general, technology opportunity to learn, as well as to, learn about what sort of career opportunities there will be in these areas and kind of how to get trained for them.
Will there be an opportunity? So I know that you've mentioned some of the speakers, like Carla, for example, and then also the new executive director there at Wynn. Will there be an opportunity for participants to maybe approach these individuals and, maybe have a side conversation at all, do you think?
Well, there'll be two opportunities. One is after the speakers are done, we're going to have a panel discussion with all four speakers. And we're going to encourage people to write questions in advance, but if we have time available, we'll open up the floor to questions spontaneously as well. Yes, the speakers will be there all morning, and there is a networking break in the middle, so there will be an opportunity for people to have some personal one-on-one interaction with the speakers.
Excellent.
As well,
and are
obviously, and at lunchtime, obviously, as well.
Okay. Will those same individuals that are participating, are they going to have booths set up where people can approach them and get more information on each individual business?
No, there won't. The only tables we have set up are the ones that are involved in STEM activities.
Okay. So I guess my next question would be, as the director of the Center for Advanced Automotive Technology, you're obviously involved with manufacturers and vendors working in this field. What is your opinion of where the driverless vehicle industry is headed?
Yeah, I do have a lot of interaction with the auto companies and suppliers. Where it's headed, in my opinion, it's not a question of if we're going to have driverless vehicles. It's a question of when. And what's going to happen, it's not going to be like an on-off switch overnight. All of a sudden you have driverless vehicles everywhere. It's going to be a fairly slow evolution. In fact, the auto industry really prefers to call them connected and automated vehicles. And there's an acronym for that, CAV, CAV. Because there are a lot of vehicles out there today that already have a number of automated systems in them. I actually drive one that has emergency braking and active cruise control and lane keeping and self-parking, all of that, which is what's known as a level 2 automated vehicle. The Society of Automotive Engineers has established 5 different levels of autonomous driving. And level 3 is where the vehicle can start doing more driving on its own, but the driver still has to be there in control. Level 4, now the vehicle can do most driving, but you still have to have the driver there ready to take over. And then level 5 is fully autonomous. No driver, don't need a steering wheel or a brake pedal. The vehicle will, you know, totally drive itself. That level 5 fully autonomous vehicle is a ways down the road before you and I will be able to purchase one of those. What you're going to see happen is some smaller, what I call demonstration fleets that will be out there, and they're going to be in very defined geographical spaces and probably more of a commercially run thing, like some sort of a ride-sharing service or something like that. But the over time, there will be more and more of those, and ultimately, you and I as regular customers will be able to buy a fully autonomous car. Although with ride-sharing, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, what will happen on vehicle ownership. Will people continue to own vehicles or maybe just own one and do a lot of their other daily commuting with some type of a ride-sharing service? So the automotive industry is going to be going through a lot of changes in the next couple decades in that regard. But relative to when, the average age of a car on the road is 11 years. So even if we had autonomous, fully autonomous vehicles available today, it would take 22 years for it to be predominantly autonomous vehicles on the road. So as you can see, this is going to be a very slow evolutionary process. And it's a little bit like the early 1900s where there were horse and buggies as well as cars on the road at the same time. There's going to be a mixture of autonomous vehicles and driver vehicles that will be sharing the road for the foreseeable future.
You know, I think that you explained that really well, which of course is no surprise. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I keep hearing is people are like, you know, I don't want to give up control of driving, and, you know, I don't ever want to be in a car and relinquish my control. And so when you were kind of explaining the level 2 cars, there are a lot of new cars on the road today that have that level 2 technology. Things like you said, the, you know, the park assist, the lane changing, the, you know, you get the little cup of coffee, you know, would you like to pull over for a cup of coffee if you, you know, happen to go over the lines, you know, too often, things like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that as this progression changes, because of course we have to build out the infrastructure too, in order to make everything work, do you think that because it will be kind of a transition, that some of those people who are objecting to the connected or autonomous technology, that over time they're just going to gradually be introduced and it'll just be a natural evolution?
Yes, and there's a lot of studies where actually the vast majority, it's in the neighborhood of 75%, are saying, no, I would not want to have an autonomous vehicle. I think once they start to understand what that does to them for freedom of time, as you're driving to work, you can be doing all kinds of other things. And really the biggest aspect of this, and the reason it's being done, is for safety. 90-95% of accidents are caused by us humans, human error. And I personally think that vehicles ultimately will do a far better job of driving than we will. and it's going to be a huge savings to society. When you look at the cost of automobile accidents in terms of death, injury, time off work, traffic congestion, property damage loss, I mean, the cost to society of automotive accidents is just incredible. The former head of NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, I've heard speak at a couple conferences, and he does an analogy that the number of people that we lose every week on U.S. highways is equivalent to a 747 going down every week. Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
If there was truly a 747 going down every week, how interested would you be in getting on an airplane? But you get in the car and drive every day. So I think once people start to realize the safety improvement and what that means, their perceptions will change. Also, it's an age-related thing. Younger people seem to be much more interested in accepting this technology than older. And us older ones are eventually going to pass on as well. So that will also change, I think, the reception to this technology.
I completely agree. So if you had to think of something that stood out to you in the last year, some form of progress, what would that be?
Well, it's definitely the amount of on-road testing that's going on, which is what really caused me to come up with the topic for this year's conference, now focusing on the testing as opposed to just the technology itself. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard about the accident that just happened with one of the Uber cars. There will be accidents with the autonomous vehicles. And most of those that have occurred so far have actually not been the fault of the vehicle. The autonomous vehicle has been the other vehicle. Don't know yet what happened with this pedestrian. We'll have to see when all the investigations are done what kind of, you know, report comes out of that.
So, yeah, that will be interesting to see what the outcome is there. What challenges does Michigan face for staking out a global leadership position in this industry?
Well, there's a lot of other areas other than Michigan that is also working on this technology. And two of the biggest other states are actually California and Pennsylvania. There's a lot of activity out in Silicon Valley on this. And a lot of that is not focused as much on the automated system part of the vehicle. It's dealing more with the software controls as well as all of the connected vehicle aspects. But Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, I think, is probably the leading academic institution in developing this technology. They've been at it for a long time. Consequently, there's also a lot of activity happening in Pittsburgh on autonomous vehicles.
That's kind of an interesting area. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because Carnegie Mellon saw this as an emerging technology area years ago and really got into it probably before a lot of other universities were even thinking about it.
It just surprised me. I'd actually never, in all the conversations that I've had, I've never heard that come up. So thank you for sharing. I'm going to have to do some investigation on that one.
Okay, yeah.
So going back to available workforce and skills needed for this industry, it's definitely a challenge. How can we in Michigan address this issue on a wider basis?
Well, one of the things is getting information out to particularly young, you know, students going through this area that this technology is fun and exciting. The auto industry is not an old, you know, conservative, done for, gone away industry. Autonomous vehicles are not going to cause the auto industry to go away. It's just going to change what you do, but it also has all kinds of new technology aspects to it. You don't have to go out to Silicon Valley to be involved in very high-tech computer stuff. In fact, a level 2 vehicle today has about 100 million lines of code in it. An F-35 fighter jet only has 35 million. And when you look at what will be involved in the amount of computer programming for a level 5 autonomous vehicle, it's just off the charts. So we need to do a better job of getting young people excited about coming in the auto industry to work on this new technology. And obviously this, you know, career is one of, this conference is one of the ways of doing that, is getting the K through 12 educators aware of all of these opportunities so they can take this back and make their students aware of it.
So how can we, you know, we being NCAM or other people that are involved in the industry, how can we help educators get up to speed on opportunities for students in this field, as well as on the skills that these students are going to need? How can we help participate in that?
Well, one of the things is with the STEM, and that's one of the reasons we're doing a focus on STEM and some of the STEM activities. You don't, in middle school, have to make a decision that I want to be working on autonomous vehicles, but you do have to make a decision that I want to do STEM, so I'm going to really focus on math and science as courses that I'm taking, and taking, you know, the highest level courses that I can. But the other part of this is not just looking at the four-year, you know, engineer and beyond, but also the skilled trades area. This is really changing what technicians need to do working on these vehicles as well. And that's one of the things that we do at Macomb Community College, is really teaching technician level. We actually have a new vehicle development technician program we're planning to kick off in the fall that's going to teach students mechanical skills, electronic skills, and IT skills, which is what you need on today's vehicle. Everything is becoming an electromechanical device controlled by a computer. And when you get into an autonomous vehicle, you know, it's even more so, but everything in the vehicle is going that way. So that's what this new program is going to do, is train people in that, you know, multiple skill level capability.
What type of continuing education? So noting those three key areas, what type of continuing education are these individuals going to need as things continue to change then?
They're going to need to learn those skills. For instance, if you were strictly mechanical before, you need to start developing some electronic knowledge and skills, and some IT skills, knowledge of programming. We have developed a number of courses here at CAT, and these can be utilized through our workforce development continuing education area for companies to come in and do training for their incumbent workers.
Excellent. And if people wanted more information about what your programs are, would you like to share your website or where they would need to go?
Yeah, the website again is www.autocat.org. We have a great resource library there where all the curriculum resources are. We post events. We have technology articles we post. It's a wealth of information.
Excellent. So this kind of concludes our talk for today. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share about the upcoming event or anything else that we've discussed today?
No, just if you have an interest, sign up for the conference. I think it's going to be great. And I think our attendance might be up this year with a couple of our new sponsors. It's going to get out to a wider audience of people than we've been able to advertise to before.
Wonderful. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate the opportunity in being able to talk to you about what's going on in the industry and the conference coming up. It sounds like a great event. You have a fantastic lineup of sponsors and speakers, And I look really forward to hearing more about it afterwards.
Very good. Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome. MTAM provides excellent resources for businesses and individuals in the mobile wireless space. For more information about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan or upcoming events, please visit our website at gomobilemichigan.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Have a great week.